Asi Devi Gajai, Sivita Bhakta, Brindi Gajai, Gaura Premananda, Hari Hari Bo. All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious to Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So Om Gnat Timiranda Sya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yenatasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So I guess you'd all like to hear pastimes tonight, right? Okay. So what I'd like to do is tell some pastimes from the Valmiki Ramayan. Everyone understands English here? Okay. So from the Valmiki Ramayan, and let's see if I'll tell you pastime. Oh yeah, pastime from the Vidagdha Madhava. One pastime from the Vidagdha Madhava by Rupa Goswami, and the one from the Valmiki Ramayan. Let's start out with the Ramayan story. So this story that we're about to tell illustrates the very important point, how the Lord is always successful in his fighting with the demons. It's a very important point. And we were mentioning this morning that the Lord comes down to fight with the demons and protect religious principles and establish the devotees because he likes a good fight. That's his internal reason. External reason is Puritranaya Sarunam Vinashaya Chadushkutam. So we're going to tell the story of Ravana's brother. Ravana's brother was named Mahi Ravana. This is another brother that you may not be aware of. Of course, you all know Kumbhakarna, and you all know Vibhishan, right? Everybody knows those two? So, Mahi Ravana, Mahi in Sanskrit means the earth. So he was Earth Ravana. And he lived... Krishna. He lived, according to Srila Prabhupada, in a country named Brazil. You've all heard of Brazil before? Brazil is in South America. There is North America, which has United States and Canada and Mexico, and then there is South America, which has Brazil and many other countries like Venezuela, Colombia. So he lived in Brazil. And Srila Prabhupada described that there is a tunnel. There's a tunnel between Lanka and Brazil. When Srila Prabhupada was in... A lot of thunder and lightning. Square one. Thank you. When Srila Prabhupada was in Venezuela, he was looking at a map. And he was pointing out to the country of Brazil, and he said, Mahi Ravana lived there. The brother of Ravana. And Prabhupada told the story of Mahi Ravana. So when Lord Ram and the monkeys, and of course Vibhishan and Lakshman, they reached the shore of Lanka after they had crossed the ocean, Setu Banda, they took rest for the night. And Hanuman said, I will protect you all. Hanuman said, I will protect you by making a very nice fort out of my tail. So Hanuman expanded his tail so it made a gigantic fort. And nobody could go in that fort unless Hanuman let them. Now she sometimes just said they went in through Hanuman's ear. So what happened is that this Mahi Ravana, he was approached by Ravana. And Ravana said, save me. You have to do something about this Ram and Lakshman and Hanuman. They're planning to attack me and they have crossed the ocean. So Mahi Ravana said, no problem. So he sent two of his assistants to kidnap Ram and Lakshman. So they got to this tail fort that Hanuman had made. And what they did is they pulled it apart a little bit to see what was going on inside. And they stuck their heads inside to see. But then the soldiers who were inside, the monkey soldiers who were inside, cut their noses off. Actually cut most of their face off too. So they basically were faceless. And so they went back to Mahiravana and they said, "My dear Mahiravana, we cannot do anything. Actually, we don't have our mouths anymore." Or noses. And maybe they had their eyes, but nothing else, basically, in their face. So Mahiravana said, "All right, this is a job for me." So Mahiravana went back, crossed through that tunnel from Brazil to Lanka, and he came to that tail fort. And he went up and down. He couldn't find a way to get in. But finally, he decided to take the form of Vibhishan. So Vibhishan, of course, is Ravana's brother, but he's the good brother of Ravana, not like Kumbhakarna or Mahiravana. And so he took the form of Vibhishan because the Rakshasas, they can assume any form at will. And he entered into this tail fort. There's Ravana getting angry. He entered into the tail fort and he kidnapped Ram and Lakshman and took them to his abode through the tunnel. So later on, the real Vibhishan was walking around and he said to Hanuman, "Is there any trouble?" And Hanuman said, "You're inside. How could you be inside, outside at the same time?" So then they realized there was some trickery there. So they went in and they discovered that Ram and Lakshman were gone, and Hanuman said, "I have to follow them. I have to find them." So he went all over and he found a lotus flower that was at the center of that hole in the earth, which was like a tunnel between Lanka and Mahiravana's abode. So Hanuman was thinking, "How can I go all the way through there?" Then he remembered that Vayu is his father. His name is Vayuputra. That is Hanuman. And so he entered through the force of the wind, went all the way through, went all the way to Mahiravana's kingdom. But when he got to Mahiravana's kingdom, he discovered there were so many guards and so many walls, one wall after the other, and he had to go through all the walls to get to the center portion where Mahiravana was. So he basically killed all the soldiers as he was going through one wall after the other and tearing it all down. But when he got to the final one, he decided to make a little trick. He wanted to make himself very small because Mahiravana's sister was carrying water for Mahiravana's worship every day. Mahiravana would worship Bhadra Kali, the fearsome form of Durga. Just like you have Navaratri right now, right? So sometimes Durga assumes a very fearsome form. And she's carrying a trident. And she's causing misery to all the living entities within this world. And sometimes you depict Durga with a chain of skulls around her neck. Have you ever seen this? A chain of skulls. Necklace. So he was getting ready to worship Durga, and Mahiravana's sister was supposed to carry in the water because it was very auspicious for her to carry in the water. She was a young maiden. So Hanuman thought, "Let me make myself very small and go on top of the leaf that was in the water." So he made himself very, very small, like an insect, and he was on top of the leaf, and then she was carrying it in, and then they had a special device at the doorway to see if there was any enemy coming in. Just like you have your cameras here everywhere, right? And you can sit in your room and watch who was coming in. So in the same way, they had an alarm system. But a very sophisticated alarm, whereby if anyone hated Mahiravana, it would pick up on their brain waves. So Hanuman really hated Mahiravana. So this alarm went off, and Hanuman immediately expanded himself, expanded his tail, and with his tail, he went into each and every general's house and pulled them out of their house and killed them. They were sitting down eating food, not prasad. They were eating food with their families. And all of a sudden this big tail comes into the doorway of the house or through the window and wraps around them and pulls them out and kills them. Poor ladies, what they had to see with their husbands being choked to death. It's like a boa constrictor, you know, one of those big snakes that wrap around you and kill you. So Hanuman basically killed all the soldiers, and then he saw Ram and Lakshman. They were on the altar, and my Ravana was going to sacrifice them at midnight to the goddess Bhadrakali. So they had some discussion, Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman, what should we do? But then it was pointed out that Mahiravana could not be killed like an ordinary person. Ordinary person, you shoot at the heart, dead, immediately, no problem, right? Like Bhim saying, he took out of the heart of Dushyanta, dead immediately, no problem. Ordinary person dependent on the heart. But this Mahiravana, he had three ways that he maintained his life and all had to be taken care of at the same time. One was, of course, his heart. Another one was five flames in the Himalayas that had to be blown out at the same time. And another one was a diamond. So all three had to be destroyed at the same time. So Ram and Hanuman, Lakshman, they were discussing who was going to do what. Hanuman said, I can fly to the Himalayas, no problem. No problem. And I can extinguish these five flames. Of course, when he got there, he had some trouble because each time he tried to blow out the flames, they would come up again. And then Hanuman prayed to his father, Vayu, and Vayu pulled all the air out and all the flames were extinguished. So Hanuman went to the Himalayas. Lakshman took care of the diamond. And Ram, he had to kill him by hitting the heart. But Ram did a special way because it came time for midnight. And Mahiravana said to Ram and Lakshman, you should now offer your obeisances, dandavats, to Bhadrakali, before I offer you to Bhadrakali. And Ram said to Mahiravana that I am a king. I never learned how to offer obeisances. Of course, we know a Vedic king does know how to offer obeisances because he offers obeisances to the brahmanas, to the sages. So, but Ram said that. Ram said, please show me how to offer obeisances. And so Mahiravana very innocently, the poor Mahiravana, poor guy, I feel sorry for him. And he went to offer obeisances, and Ram took that moment and grabbed the bow, killed him. So the diamond was put out. Lakshman, of course, rushed to get the diamond, and Hanuman blew out the flames all simultaneously. And so that was the story of Mahiravana. And then they flew back through the tunnel from Brazil all the way back to Lanka. And even today in Brazil, they find tunnels that they can never explore that are so deep, they can never go all the way through. Interesting, isn't it? So that's the story of Mahiravana. Let me tell that. Well, another story from the Ramayana. I'll tell the story of Valmiki because this illustrates the point that by good association, by chanting the holy names, anyone can become saintly. Because before Valmiki was the great sage Valmiki, he was a dacoit. His name was Ratnagara. And he used to steal from everybody. So if someone came on the road, he would stop them and say, give me your money. And he would kill them sometimes. Very bad man. Just like you see sometimes in India, they do that. They stop the buses and then they, in Mayapur we had that. There were several buses on the way. And they put some sort of log or wood in the road and the buses couldn't proceed and they took all the money out from people. There's one funny story, and people ask, I'll just tell the story about India in a second. There's one story is that people ask, why don't the police come? Well, the police don't come because they're getting paid some Lakshmi. So there was once upon a time, the dacoits, they stopped the bus and they were robbing everybody, and they discovered there was not so much money in the bus. So they gave it all back to the people. And they said, it will cost us more money to bribe the police than we'll make from this. So take your money back. So, very funny story. So anyway, so this Ratnagara, he was stealing from everybody. All of a sudden, the Saptarishis came along. Saptarishi means like Agastya Muni and others like that. Great personalities, seven rishis. And he stopped them and he said, give me your money. Of course, we understand they didn't have much money because they were dressed like rishis, but he was very determined. And they said to him, all right, we'll give you our money, but first of all, we want to tell you about the law of karma. When you do this, when you kill people, steal from them, you will have to suffer tremendously. Don't you understand? And he replied, I understand, but it's my job. And it's for my family. I love them, and they love me. So he was thinking like that. They love me, I love them. So the Saptarishi said, if they love you, will they share your karma? So he went to his family. The Saptarishis told him to ask his family. He went to his wife. He said, my dear wife, will you share my karma? And she said, hell no. I want your money, not your karma. And then he went to his son, and his son said, you're supposed to pay for my education, but I don't want your karma. It's your duty. Then he went to his daughter, and she said, you're supposed to pay for my dowry. It's your duty, and I don't want your karma. That's your problem, not mine. And so he goes back to the Saptarishis, tells the Saptarishis that his family wasn't willing to accept the karma, so he understood that there wasn't so much love there. So he said, what should I do? And they said, you chant this very nice mantra. Because you're a dacoit, we have special mantra for you. Mara, mara, mara. Which becomes, you all know that story, which becomes Ram, 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 Ram. If you chant it enough. Mara, mara, Ram, Ram. After about three times, it actually becomes Ram. So he began to chant, and he became so determined that an anthill grew around him. That's why he's called Valmiki. That means the anthill sage. And when the Saptarishis came back, they were amazed to see him. And he was blessed at that time to become a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of God and to be able to picture the Ramayana in his heart. So then after that, he established an ashram, Valmiki Muni's ashram. And he had so many nice disciples and was preaching Krishna consciousness, but he hadn't written the Ramayana yet, or hadn't spoken the Ramayana. He actually didn't write it, he spoke it. Because at that time there was no need for writing. Everybody had such good minds. Now we have to read. If we read like the Damodar Ashtaka, we don't have it memorized after 200 years in the Hare Krishna movement. But still we don't have it memorized. It's Kali Yuga. In the old days, you could hear something once, you remember, it's called Shruti Dara. So, he still hadn't spoken the Valmiki Ramayana, the Ramayana. So one day, he was out doing his prayers in a river. And he saw two cranes. Crane is a type of bird. You know, some of the birds with long legs? I don't think you have any cranes here in Fiji, no. In other countries, the legs are like really thin. Really thin legs, and they sleep on one leg. They're like, the bird is about this big, sometimes bigger, and has a head, of course. And it's on one leg. Well, it has two legs, but sleeps on one leg. They're called cranes. There are all sorts of different colors. There's red cranes, blue cranes, multicolored cranes. Has anyone here ever seen a picture of a crane? You see. Very interesting birds. I've seen them in person in different countries. So there were two cranes, male crane, female crane, and they were in love. And so there was a hunter there.
And the hunter shot them with his arrow. And Valmiki Muni was so angry, he took out his water pot. And he took some water in his hand, and he threw it, and he cursed the hunter to never enjoy any time in the future, to suffer practically for a very long time. But when he was cursing the hunter, he cursed them in poetry. Poetry means rhyming words. I think you all understand what poetry is, right? Like, here's a rhyme. I think I shall never see a bird as lovely as thee. That's a love song from a love poem from the Western world. A bird, yeah. Anyway, so that's that sort of poem is. So he wrote it, the curse, he didn't write, he spoke the curse in a poem. And he was thinking, what is this? A poem. And he was thinking about it again and again and again. Finally, Lord Brahma came. And Lord Brahma said, this is because you're supposed to be the first poet in this particular age. And you're supposed to write about the pastimes of Lord Brahma. And so he sat in meditation and spoke the Ramayana, and memorized, of course, the Ramayana. And later on, he was able to give shelter to Sita Devi and Lav and Kush, the sons of Sita Devi. He plays a very important part in the Ramayana story. So that's the story of Valmiki Muni. What we can learn from that is that the holy names are so powerful when chanted under the instructions of a pure devotee, anyone can become Krishna conscious. And that's our Yuga Dharma. And of course we find that in the case of Jagai and Madai. So many examples are there. That if one chants even accidentally, a Jamil, meaning something else, his son Narayan, he became purified. Like we chant in the beginning of fire sacrifices, Om Apavitra Apavitra Va Sarva Vashtam Gatobi Va Yaksmaret Pundarikaksham Savaya Avyantara Shuchi Shri Vishnu Shri Vishnu Shri Vishnu. One who remembers Krishna by chanting his name, whether he comes from a low-class background, purified background, or unpurified background, doesn't matter. And also there's another verse, Ho Bhattaswa Pachato Griyam Yadi Vagre Vartate Namatubhyam Tapus Tapus Jehuva Shashnararya Ramanuchar Namagranantiyate. If one's chanting Hare Krishna, it's understood he's become a Brahmin. He's already done all the preliminary rituals. He doesn't have to take birth after birth after birth to become a Brahmin Vaishnava. Like the story in the Mahabharata. I'll tell you one interesting story. Once upon a time, there was a worm. And the worm was crossing the road. And Vyasadeva, Srila Vyasadeva, came and said to the worm, why are you going so fast across the road? And the worm said, because a cart is coming. If a cart comes, it will run me over, and I will be squished. So Vyasadeva said, but don't you understand, in your next life, you'll get a higher birth. You'll become a worm with legs. You ever seen a worm with legs? You call it centipede or something like that? Yeah. And then next life, you'll become a butterfly. Your butterfly is here?
Yes.
And next life, you'll become something higher, bird. Next life, you become a fish. Next life... And he went through all these different lifetimes explaining next life, until almost 8,400,000 species of life, until you become a human being. But first you become a malacha. And then after you die, you become a shudra. And after you die, you become a vaishya. And after you die, you become a kshatriya. And I'll be your guru when you become a kshatriya. And then next birth, you become a brahmin. So he was telling the worm it's going to take a lot of births for you to become a Brahmin. But the worm was so patient, he said, let me die right now and at least get the process going. So he stayed in the middle of the road and the cart ran him over. And it happened, as Vyasadeva said, but he had to take many, many births. And Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Janmanamante, Janavam nam pravajate vasudevam sarvaviti samahatma sudulavaha.
After many births, one actually understands about Krishna. Krishna is everything, Vasudeva, Krishna is everything. So, but by the chanting of Krishna's names, you don't have to take many births. You don't have to do all these different rituals, the Karma Kanda rituals, the Jnana Kanda rituals, all the Swaha business. All you have to do is chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And that we see in the story of Valmiki Muni. Okay, one more story. Now I'll tell the story about Krishna's pastimes. This is from the Vidagdha Madhava by Srila Rupa Goswami. Once upon a time, this is a tax pastime. Once upon a time, the gopis, headed up by Radharani, were carrying their milk products to a place known as Govindakund, and there was a sacrifice going on there. And so Krishna heard about this. And so what Krishna likes to do is collect taxes. In this way, well, actually he loves Radharani. He's trying to make her aggravated. He enjoys very much when Radharani gets angry, because this is a symptom of love. In the material world, someone gets angry, it's a symptom of hate. But in the spiritual world, when there's anger between Radha and Krishna, this is like a like spicing on a vegetable, garam masala. You know what that is? It's a hot masala. And I see sometimes devotees like so much they pour it on their food, and sometimes they have so much red peppers that there's no vegetable left. Right? Sometimes they call the red peppers sharks. Do they call that here? No. No. In other places, the hot peppers they call sharks. You know what a shark is? One of the animals that swims and bites you. Yeah, so they call the hot peppers sharks. Just so you know, in the West, that's what it's called. So, anyway, so Krishna likes to see Radha get angry, and then they make up. Because the fun of getting someone angry is when you can make up later on. So what happened is he and his friends, especially Madhu Mango, they posed as tax collectors. And they stopped Radharani and her associates and said, stop, you have to pay the taxes. And they asked, the gopis asked, who are you? And Krishna said, I'm the king of Vrindavan. And then they asked Vrindadevi, who is in charge of Vrindavan, do you know this boy? And she said, I've never seen this boy before. They were joking. It was a very joking pastime. So they started to have some argument. And then Krishna said, all right, here's the taxes. Here's what I'm going to charge you for. So Krishna was going to charge Srimati Radharani for all of her beauty. He says, for your beautiful nose, there'll be so many gold coins. For your beautiful ears. He went through the whole body in that way. The hair, the ears, everything in the body he went through, the feet, everything he was charging money for. And of course, that made Radharani very angry. In playful anger. And so there was argument back and forth. Argument one way, another way. Finally Krishna said, all right, I will let you go, but you have to leave someone here as a hostage. So you should leave Lalita here as a hostage. And then there was more anger and more yelling back and forth between the gopis and Krishna. So then it was finally arranged by Purnamasi, who is Yogamaya personified, that they would come back the next day to pay their taxes. Krishna finally agreed, because there was a mediator. You know, understand, mediator? Someone who, a third person who resolves the difficulty or conflicts between people. So Purnamasi resolved and said, I guarantee they'll come back the next day. So they came back the next day, but they came back with like 10 million gopis and very few coward boys and Krishna, and they overpowered them. They took them and tied them to the trees and the sticks, you know, latis, you know, so they said, we're going to hit you, Krishna. And Krishna had to, they made Krishna apologize and bow down and touch Radharani's feet. That's a nice story, isn't it?
So even the Supreme Lord, the point of this story, is even the Supreme Lord is so much controlled by the love of Srimati Radharani and also the sticks, that, of course, Krishna is not really controlled by sticks. I mean, he's all powerful. Nobody can tie up Krishna. But you see here, Mother Yashoda, she has tied up Krishna because of her bhakti. Otherwise, it is not possible. If you go to tie up Krishna, you will be tied up. So, Radharani was able to tie up Krishna too, like Yashoda might. And therefore, that love controls Krishna. Krishna becomes subservient to that love. And if we serve Srimati Radharani, serve Mother Yashoda, serve the residents of Vrindavan, Krishna will actually give us his full mercy because he is controlled by their love and they will recommend us to Krishna. Okay? So that's the stories for tonight. Any questions or comments about any of these stories? Two stories from the Ramayana and one story from the Vedanta Madhava. Questions, comments? Very nice to be here in the Radha Damodar Temple and see all the wonderful Vaishnavas and see the beautiful temple decorations. The deities are very happy. I think this is the best temple, right? Everything's clean and neat. That's the sign of brahminical behavior, when everything's clean. Like sometimes when I go to the temple, I look at everything, run my finger over different things to see if there's dust. You understand? I was at another temple recently, and I put my fingers on the window blinds. You know what window blinds are? What do you call them here? Window blinds, same thing. And the finger came off black. So this is how we tell whether a temple is taken care of well. Cleanliness. Prabhupada said the temple should be revolutionary clean. And Krishna is pleased with cleanliness, with nice prasadam and punctuality, those three things the deities are pleased with. If you can do those three things, then you get Krishna's mercy as far as the deity worship is concerned, and people will come to the temple. So, no questions, comments, problems? No? What? Okay. So we end now? What? Okay. You question? No. Hanuman? Oh, you want me to chant the Hanuman song? Okay. We'll end with the Hanuman song, okay? You like the Hanuman song.
Hanuman, oh Hanuman, oh Hanuman, oh Hanuman. Oh Hanuman, oh Hanuman, Hanuman, oh Hanuman. Raghupati Raghava Raghuram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Raghupati Raghava Raghuram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Ram. Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Jai Ram, 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 Jai Ram
Jai Hanuman ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai,
Gurudev ki jai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Bol.